All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Frank McGarvey shoots.
Derek Johnston.
A marvellous goal by Celtic.
Rangers pressure pays off.
The Dutton army go crazy.
Glorious goal.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years.
I'm asked to give an opinion and I like to give an honest one.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we carry on through the busy festive fixture schedule. The weather caused havoc last night, but Edinburgh bragging rights go to Hearts after a late Lawrence Shankland winner. Rangers are closing in on the loan signing of Fabio Silva from Wolves, and Celtic's Asia Cup disruption begins to take shape with Oh An Yang called up by South Korea. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon Dl and Andy Halliday with a big smile on his face. Look at that. Edinburgh is maroon for now. Yep. Andy Halliday, and lots of other talking points as well.
I needed it because I was disappointed that Christmas is over. You know, it's my favourite time of the year. Then Storm Gerrit comes, ruins everyone's day for a couple of days. But like he says, cheered me up last night. Again, it's another Edinburgh derby win for the Jambos. Shanks continuing that goal scoring form. And the small mark there, I know, for him coming up this weekend to talk about tonight.
Just 2 days away, Gordon Dl. It's bound to be dominating the thoughts of many listeners, and so much to look forward to across the board.
Yeah, I thought last night was an exciting night, Gordon, especially if you were at Livingston St Johnson. I watched the Edinburgh derby, and you've got to say this man that everyone's talking about, Shanklin, didn't have the best of games, but you have got to say to yourself, what a finish that is. We're looking forward now to the weekend, and I think probably in everybody's lips, if you're in the Celtic camp, will Cameron Carter-Vickers be available? I think that's a big shout for him. As Rangers go in there with the confidence that they can beat Celtic, I think the Rangers fans will certainly feel that. I just think we're in for a cracking weekend. I think we've got one of the biggest games down the bottom of the league when Livingston go calling at Fir Park against Motherwell.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. It is a busy, busy Thursday night here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, because as the guys have said, Celtic against Rangers is just 2 days away. We can look back on last night's fixtures. Of course, a lot of the discussion was around the fact that two big games were off. You Rangers fans in particular, were you happy with the rest, or would you have rather played and got the points on the board? We've even got our first piece of January transfer speculation. Is it more than that? Rangers closing in on a loan move for Fabio Silva from Wolves. So Rangers fans, I think you clearly need a striker. I don't think that's much of a surprise. So what do you make of that? I know the way these things work. You've been doing your research already. You've been firing up the YouTube compilations. You've been poring over the stats. What do you make of that one? 01419511025. Looking ahead to the weekend, looking back on last night, and anything else that you fancy, we are here for you. 01419511025. Good Christmas. Before we go any further, are you both all right? I think the listening audience need to know.
Very quiet.
You didn't listen to last night's show, did you?
No.
I was mocking the fact that every Scotsman, when you ask them, they just say it was quiet. Yeah. Even if it was a wild 8-day rave, they say it was quiet.
If it was a
wild, we just don't do details, do we?
If it was 8-day rave, I'd be telling you every detail. Let me say that. No, I was very Boxing Day, 7 o'clock, waiting for the gym to open. I'm starting.
I saw you were
pathetic.
True. I'm starting now. I'm not waiting till January.
Pathetic.
You don't get in this shape.
Busy,
wait till January.
Busy man.
That must be a theme. This man's been playing paddle tennis over the last couple of days.
Only for 5 minutes, to be fair.
Christmas festivities.
It's called the Fit Club in here. You should join it.
I've not been fit for a long time, I would tell you.
Anyway, 01419511025. Maybe you just want to talk Christmas festivities with Gordon DL and Andy Halliday. I certainly hope not, it has to be said. But you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. Call on the usual number, 01419511025. Let's start with a bit of signing news, if we can call it that. It's certainly the first piece of news, I think, big piece of news we've had heading into January, and it's that Rangers are close to a deal to sign Fabio Silva from Wolves when the window opens. What do you make of it? Give us a call. So it looks like it would be a loan until the end of the season. That would, of course, be Philippe Clement's first signing as Rangers manager. I think he would have been keen to add to his squad anyway, but certainly has had an injury hit start to life at Ibrox, so maybe that has accelerated the process. There's still a lot to play for domestically and in Europe, of course. So now, what we often do in these situations, regular listeners will know, we sometimes try and give you the inside track. Gordon DL and Andy Halliday, they've got limits to their expertise. I know that seems hard to believe, but they do. So we sometimes like to cast the net a bit wider, and I'm going to bring in Steve Madley, who is the Wolves writer for The Athletic, who's on the line. How's it going, Steve?
All good, thank you. You?
Yes, all good here. Thank you for joining us. Now, Fabio Silva is an interesting one because it clearly hasn't worked out the way he would have wanted at Wolves. Looks like he's heading up here to join us. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, he badly needs a move away. He's not played in the Premier League for almost 2 months, and I think it was early September when he last started a game. So he's clearly fallen out of favour at Wolves. Like, it's doing no one any good for him to be a perennial unused substitute, which is kind of what he's become. So hopefully, from his point of view, then he gets up to Rangers, scores a few goals, and I think it's unlikely, with the way the last 3 years have gone, that he's going to completely resurrect his career at Wolves. But hopefully he scores some goals for Rangers, that does well, and then gets himself a chance to get that move in the summer that he really badly needs.
It is obviously a different level. Just because you can't cut it in English Premier League doesn't necessarily mean you won't come and be a success in Scotland. Is there a main reason why is it not quite clicked?
I think I took over covering Wolves last summer, and he immediately went out on loan. So I can't claim to have seen loads of him. But from what I've seen this season, he's just struggled to be, with the all-round demands, to be that main kind of leader of the line that Gary O'Neill has wanted at Wolves, just with kind of the physicality of the Premier League and the pace of the Premier League. But what he does have and what he showed in the games he started for Wolves early in the season, even when he wasn't playing particularly well all-round, is he's got good movement and he gets chances to score goals. Which, if you look at his goals to games ratio last season, when he spent half the season at Anderlecht in Belgium and then the second half of the season at PSV Eindhoven, his goals to games ratio was pretty good. So he's shown that if he gets chances, then he's capable of finishing them. So I guess if Rangers will be hoping that if they can give him some quality service, then he will have the ability to finish off those chances.
Yeah, I mean, because for the first couple of months of the season, there was the odd sub appearance here. I think he's up to, he's 10 appearances in all competitions this season. Did it just get to a point where that sort of dried up and stopped becoming something that Gary Neal looked at?
Yeah, I mean, his recent history is that he came back from those loan spells in the summer, having done pretty well, as we've already discussed. I think his preferred option in the summer was to move on. He didn't really feel that he was going to get a chance at Wolves. He was convinced otherwise by Julian Lopetegui, who was Gary O'Neill's predecessor, and that it was agreed that he would stick around and give it another go at Wolves. Lopetegui then leaves 3 days before the season starts, and in comes Gary O'Neill. Fabio then started the season as part of Gary O'Neill's plans, and he actually had a few starts in the very early weeks of the season, but it just didn't work out for him. He had some big chances which he missed, one-on-ones, which obviously affected a confidence that was probably already a bit fragile after what had happened previously at Wolves. And it just, from that point on, he just kind of fell down the pecking order. Wolves began to score goals through other means, through Hwang Ki-chan, Mateus Cunha, Pedro Neto and others. And Fabio just couldn't really find his way back into the starting lineup from that point on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a huge, well, maybe not huge by English Premier League standards, but certainly huge to us, transfer fee initially. So, you know, there was clearly a belief there and a potential that Wolves believed in. Sometimes can it be maybe hard to live up to that transfer tag?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the context of any league, that transfer fee, I mean, it's somewhere between £30 and £35 million, depending on how many of the add-ons have been paid. For a player in that position, a kid basically, a youth team player, was huge, even by Premier League standards. And it just, I mean, we can all speculate as to what went on, but it clearly wasn't market value for the player as it was at the time. And I think that's been a millstone around his neck for the last 3 years, and in a way, a millstone around Wolves' neck. Because I think Wolves, there's been an acceptance at Wolves for a while now that it probably wasn't going to work out for Fabio Silva as a Wolves player. But because of that transfer fee, they haven't really been able to cut their losses and get him the permanent move that probably he needs and they need. So he's almost been stuck with Wolves, and Wolves have been stuck with him because they know they can't recoup anything close to that transfer fee, which is why there were the two loans last season and this other loan now. So yeah, the transfer fee has just been a massive issue, really. I think both financially and probably psychologically for him as well.
So if this does transpire, then a move to Rangers, your understanding as well, just be a loan move, end of the season, and then, you know, back to Wolves, and the parties go their separate ways at that point.
I think so. I mean, it's hard to see how, unless Wolves wanted to take a pardon me, unless Wolves wanted to take a significant loss on what they paid for him. Mm-hmm. You'll know Rangers finances better than I do, but it's hard to see how Rangers could afford that on a permanent basis. So my guess is that Wolves and Fabio Silva and Rangers obviously will be hoping that he comes in, scores a few goals, recovers a bit of confidence as he did last year in his two loan spells, and then makes himself a more attractive proposition for clubs in Europe to come in and buy next summer.
Thank you very much. That was Steve giving us the inside track on Wolves Fabio Silva potentially heading to Rangers. Steve from The Athletic there. Thanks again, Steve. All the best. Oh, he's gone as well. I think they cut him off through there before I even let the poor guy say goodbye.
Finally an expert. Wasn't he Mark Fimo guy the night?
Sounded good to him. He knew his stuff. You two have now got big shoes to fill for the next hour and 45 minutes.
Very interesting listening to him. It looks like a deal that would suit the player and both clubs. You know, I don't think he's got a future there, just listening to
Steve, thanks for listening. Thanks for paying attention.
I was going to say, Mark, I'm so glad you interrupted me. Steve, that obviously he's got a future going forward with Wolves, but as a player, and especially a young player, and you come with such a big price tag, you want to play football, especially at that early age. So, good opportunity. Don't know a lot about him. Looked a little bit on YouTube today, like everybody else.
On that magic telly of yours?
No, just...
I'm surprised you don't have feature-length documentaries on Fabio Silva. Yeah, you've got everything else on that telly.
I've got a lot of documentaries, that's for sure. But I've got to say, it'll be interesting, because Rangers certainly need a bit of cover just now in that area with injuries.
And you can never broad brush. Every player's different, but if you were to stick him in a box, if you like, or the profile is huge potential, big transfer fee, lost his way, can Rangers fix him? That's the sort of bracket he would fall into, isn't it?
Yeah, very much down the Ahmed Diallo route, I would say. But Rangers will certainly hope that it turns out.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, I think Rangers fans will certainly hope it turns out a bit better than that one. But you just look at Abdullah Sima. I know it's a little bit different because he's a bit older, but it's obviously, Rangers have delved into the loan market and found somebody that's managed to be their top goal scorer in all competitions. And you look at Fabio Silva, obviously at a young age, only a teenager at Porto, who's a well-respected youth academy across Europe. To pay £35 million for him at the young age of 17, 18. He's obviously still played Premier League games. He's went on 2 or 3 loans. Some of them have worked out, some of them have not. But he's still, starting every game for Portugal under-21s. I think I read earlier he's the second top goal scorer in the qualifying competition, so he's still playing games and he's at an international level. And listen, it's an area the pitch that Rangers need. I think the light right now with injuries across the squad, but certainly in the forward areas when unfortunately it looks as if Danilo could be missing the rest of the season.
Yeah, let's bring in Mark, who's a Rangers fan. Mark, I don't know if you've had time to do a deep dive on Fabio Silva or what you make of that potential signing, or if you've just got other thoughts as to what Rangers should do in that area.
First and foremost, guys, Merry Christmas. And the question that the nation wants to know, doesn't matter whether you support Aberdeen, Rangers, Celtic, Motherwell, is what was Gordon DL's best Christmas present?
What was his what? Best Christmas present. Well, whatever that is you're wearing right now is definitely a Christmas present.
No, it's not.
It is. That has got Christmas present written all over it.
I just wanted to see the feedback on this tonight. I've still got the
I don't mind it, but that's a Christmas present.
In case it is, but yeah, it was a wee Christmas present.
Guaranteed. Absolute guaranteed.
Is that a Christmas present?
No, it's not.
10 years ago.
I've had this for a while.
A best Christmas present, I've got to say, was just seeing the joy on
the ground. Oh, Gaze Pace. Gaze Pace, man.
It was either that or the box of Pro V1s. I got
some nice golf gear.
I'm sure you did. Yeah. Just what you were needing.
Hopefully you've got a new blue jacket can start going out with, so you don't need to keep wearing that black one.
I'm going to tell you two, you need to get your eyes sorted. That is blue.
That's not.
I took it into the shop. What colour's that, sir?
Anyway, Mark, what do you want for Christmas in Ranger Striking Department? Sorry, I did there?
I'm ruining the conversation.
No, I like
it. Okay, first of all, the boy from Wolves, we've been down this route for years with the various players, and normally it doesn't work. Yet Tillman was good last year. Seema's been outstanding. But it doesn't excite me or the boys I've spoken to tonight. The days of us signing guys on loan and putting any kind of faith in them is over. We cannot have risks. If it's only a 6-month deal and we're going to bring another player through, fair enough, it's not costing as much.
I obviously, I know people don't love loan signings and I totally get it, Mark, but does that not make it quite low risk? And I don't mean to pick on the guys, but a lot of criticism on this show for Dessers and Lammers, guys that have, albeit Dessers is finding his feet a bit, rather than chucking a few million in transfer fees at people, that the Rangers maybe need to try and take a bit of a calculated one on loan and see if that works.
Well, I'm actually on the phone to say the board now need to act and act quickly. I'm sorry, Andy won't like me saying this. The best striker in Scotland is Shankland. So, see, I believe the Champions League could be worth upwards of £50 to £60 million next year with the new Champions League. So, see if it's going to take £3 million or £3.5-4 million for the best striker in Scotland, Shankland, who's a Rangers supporter. See, and a Hearts supporter, clearly, if you look at him celebrating last night, to get him. Go and get him, because he's better than Kyogo, he's better than Dessers, he's the best striker in this country, and I think he would walk to Ibrox if there's a deal agreed with the two clubs. If it costs £4 million, pay it. See if they don't get a penny back, and people say, oh, well, he's 28, 29, well, not. I don't care. That could be the difference. An outstanding goal scorer is exactly what we need, because we are in a position now, which I never thought I'd be saying, where we could realistically win 2-3 trophies this year. And the board, instead of spending £7.5 million on Lammers and Dessers, go and spend the money to bring in a Scottish player that supports the club, that's the best striker in this country, that could be the difference between finishing second and winning the title. Because I honestly believe that this man we've got in charge now, Lamont, has it in his locker to bring in 20 trophies at Ibrox. So So they need to spend the money, the board needs to back him, and that's the striker that we need to be signing. It's there in the naked eye. It's Shankland all day long.
Mark, where are you? It's kicking off in the background.
I'm outside Central Station.
I thought that sounds about the busiest place in the country. Right. I knew this would.
Tell them
to turn that siren off. They don't know we've got important things to crack on with here. I knew we would get a Rangers should sign Lauren Shankland call because that opinion's been out there anyway. Then he goes and does that last night. What would Hearts let him go for? 10, 15 million?
Well, Mark said it could be the difference between Rangers getting Champions League or not. It could be the difference of Hearts getting third and guaranteed Europe for next year. So he's certainly not going to be cheap.
Worth, what, 6 million to Hearts?
I think guaranteed 6 million. So listen, he's not going to go cheap. And it's a difficult one for me to obviously talk about. But listen, you know how much I highly rate Shanks. He's now the outright top goal scorer in the league. He's 5-4. He's absolutely flying. And, you know, all strikers that score goals have a premium. And I think if anyone wants to come and try and take him in this window, I think they're certainly going to need to pay that.
How good is he? Right, you see him up close and obviously people see him last night.
I've said it before. Obviously, I've seen him for years when he was at Ayr and when he was at Aberdeen. He was on loan at Ayr United and I think he was on loan at St Mirren and obviously Dundee United. And he's much better than I thought he was even then. And don't get me wrong, he was obviously younger. He's going to have improved over time, but... You know, I've always seen him as just a goal scorer. I think he's much more than that. He's obviously the captain of the club, so he's a leader on off the field. I think his link-up play is very, very undervalued. And of course, the most important thing is my grandpa would always say he puts the ball in the back of the net. So I don't think there's many in the country as good as him at doing that. So listen, if anyone's going to need to try and take him, they're certainly going to need to pay a few quid, that's for sure. 28, I think. Maybe 29, yep. But I think 28.
Yeah, look, I watched him closely last night in that game, Gordon, and I said to Andy when he came in the building, I thought it's probably one of his worst performances, and then
He did the unthinkable, missing a penalty, yeah. He never does that.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, I was watching him thinking, oh, he's having a real bad game here tonight, but that's a mark of a terrific striker. When you need that big goal, when you need that big moment, that split second, and you've got to say, it was absolutely stunning.
Was a weak foot apparently.
And he scored a weak foot half volley last week for 25 yards.
Where I agree with Andy is I don't just put him in the bracket of an out and out goal scorer. I put him in the bracket that he's now learned he can play that number 10 role as well off a striker. I think he's intelligent. I think he's developed into a very intelligent footballer and a terrific footballer. 6 million, lot of money.
No, I didn't say 6 million. No, I'm saying that was the amount that could be worth to Hearts to get into Europe. But anyway, 01419511025. It's a good call, Mark. Thank you very much. And you can get your thoughts in, and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West for 50 years. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Gordon Diel are here at 01419511025. If you want to get your calls in, and please do. We'd love to hear from you. Might be nice to hear from some Hearts fans, Hibs fans, looking back on last night. Andy Halliday can give you the inside scoop as well, looking at some of the big talking points from last night. 2 missed penalties, what a start it was. Maybe got a bit scrappy in the middle, I think we can agree, but what a moment to finish it as well. Just as a moment, obviously the Hibs fans will hate this. This is the bit where they'll be like chucking stuff at the radio, but that was just like football in its purest moment of excitement, that wasn't it? And you see the scenes behind the goal, the Hearts fans are going crazy, last minute winner in a derby. Easy for you to say, so you can answer first, but you know, just a great moment, wasn't it?
The feeling that Shanklin, Andy, the rest of the team and squad and the guys sitting at the house, the couch watching it, must have felt. Unbelievable, Gordon. It just needed one of those moments. It was a game that you're thinking, the quality in the middle after the two penalty kicks is so poor that something special has got to happen here. It's got to. I thought the atmosphere inside the ground was brilliant. I just looked at the... If I was Hibs... I'm talking about Hibs, I'd be very angry with my centre half. But after that, it's all about what Shanklin does. It's a dream come true for a lad. And the way he celebrated it, as the caller said earlier, he might be a Rangers fan, but he certainly holds Hearts very dear to him.
Ach, listen, it might have been a good goal, but not everybody gets a double in the Edinburgh Derby, do they?
I know. But I tell you what, I'd swap a double for scoring a last minute away in a derby.
Especially
all day
that
long.
End as well.
All day long.
Yeah. This was your time to just take the
No, I'll be honest. I mean, a last minute derby winner away from home in front of your fans. And listen, like you says, the scenes were outstanding.
I don't think you score enough to be trading in doubles here, I must admit. Each to their own.
Hey, do you want me to pull up my record against Motherwell, every team I play Motherwell?
I'd rather not. 01419511025. Graham is a Rangers fan in the East End. Fabio Silva. Graham, what do you make of that?
We'll get to that in 2 seconds. Merry Christmas, guys. Hope you still had a good time with your friends and family.
Thank you, Graham. Yeah, same to you.
Same to you.
Yeah, excellent. Fabio Silva, as Gordon spoke, I've been tuning in for the last kind of half hour. As Gordon spoke very briefly, then the YouTube angle, £35 million from Porto, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
He's been out on loan and at PSV, 21 years of age. It's got to be, and I'm not going to jinx this yet, it's got to be a signing that works. I can't remember who the panel spoke about it earlier. Some of the signings that we've had and the loans haven't worked out. I mean, all you need to do is look at the Welsh boy. I can't remember his name right now.
Aaron Ramsey.
That was a disaster. That was an absolute, I won't swear in the air, an absolute S show. So, I've got 2 points to this. I think it's needed. It's obviously needed, and it's partly to do with injuries. Now, if I remember, and you guys might be able to correct me...
Hold on a wee second, Graham. Just very quickly, these things, and I say quickly, Rangers have now confirmed a move for Fabio Silva. There we go.
Wow.
One minute ago, so there you are. It has been confirmed. Fabio Silva will be a Rangers player when the window opens. So that speeds things up a bit. Graham?
I think that's brilliant. I think my call was just for you guys. I mean, maybe I get it over the line. A wee joke. Brilliant. I mean, absolutely brilliant. He's a young kid. We're short up front, absolutely. And that was part of my other point to the producer. We wouldn't really be looking. Well, maybe we would be, in my opinion. I don't think we'd be really looking for another striker, especially with Danilo and then Roof. And you've seen the frustration. I was at the match the other night when Roof lasted like 14 minutes, 15 minutes. And this is going back to my original point to the signings.
Mm-hmm.
Are we meant to have signed it? This was meant to have been our Hollywood signing, the doctor. I can't remember his name right now. Oh, everybody's welcomed him back. But in a very short space of time, Philippe Clement has suffered maybe 5 injuries from key players. So, seriously, this must be every Rangers fan's question, and I hope I speak for the country. What is going on with those injuries? You're bringing them back so quickly, like the Jack, the Lawrence and the Roofs, and then they're injured again.
Yeah, I take Graham's point. Injuries, look, particularly to Danilo, has obviously sped this up. But are we sure Rangers wouldn't have maybe gone for one anyway in that area? I know people are getting a bit more encouraged by what they're seeing from Dessers, but 2 weeks, 3, 4 weeks ago, certainly I think most Rangers fans would have phoned and said they need a new striker regardless. And just a quick more bit of detail there, Rangers have confirmed it. He's you know, pictured inside the Ibrox dressing room. Looks like he'll wear the number 7 shirt, so he's very much going to be a Rangers player when this window opens.
Yeah, I don't think it's any surprise. I know Mark on earlier was talking about that, you know, these loan signings, he would rather go for someone like Shankland. Yes, I think in an ideal world, but it's a lot of money, and I think Rangers have got to act quickly now because they're very short in that position. If anything happens to Dessers, Roof obviously limps off the other night there. He's just had injury after injury after injury. Danilo's out. If anything happens to Dessers, then you're looking at maybe Seema going through the middle or whatever. So it's not surprising to me, Gordon. Don't know, as I say, don't know a lot about him. Young player, got a lot to prove. He's come to Scotland, great opportunity, massive club. Let's see what he offers.
The beauty of live radio, Andy, things change. He is now confirmed as a Rangers player, or as confirmed as you can be when the window isn't open yet. What do you make of that development?
Yeah, well, certainly no surprise. I'm sure Rangers would hope he was available 2 days before to obviously be available for the game at the weekend. But I'd be amazed if that's Rangers done for that department. I really would. I think Rangers
another
need
striker.
I think they do. Listen, if reports are to be true, listen, how many times have you said that? We've said that for 3 years. I think it's got to the point now, and I really don't mean any disrespect by it, but you just can't rely on Kamar Roof staying fit. It's injury after injury. It's different areas of his body that he's breaking down with. And he showed any time he's played, he's a capable player for Rangers. But I think for the type of player, the type of profile is, and I think he'll be on a fair whack of money as well, he's someone that just can't stay fit for any length of period of time. And Dazzle just touched on it there. What happens if, you know, Dessers gets an injury like it's happened to Danilo? By all accounts, it seems if Danilo's going to miss the rest of the season, there's no guarantee, like any signing, that Fabio Silva's going to hit the ground running and be successful. So I think, again, I think Rangers need to bring one more in that department.
So Graham, overall, you're quite like, or you're quite comfortable with the fact that it's a loan signing, it's a bit of a lower risk. Is that the way you see it? Because obviously the previous Rangers fan didn't really want that. He was sort of done with loans.
No, listen, I'll salute Andy here. That's pretty much everything I was going to say when you obviously wanted me to come back on earlier. Absolutely. I mean, Andy's hit it spot on. I do not think, I actually hope that we're not finished in that department because Andy says Danilo's out for the rest of the season. Is that 100%?
It's not 100%, no, but it seems as if it's potentially, yeah. Certainly towards the latter end of the season.
Right, okay, well, thanks for that. I did not know that.
Thanks for ruining my Christmas.
No, thanks. I'll go back to my bed. No, listen, Andy's absolutely spot on. I can't see Rangers stopping on that first initial signing. We need strength in every department, if I'm honest. We are scraping out the results. Ibrox isn't as bouncing as it should be, in my opinion. The last few games anyway. But no, that's a great signing in my eyes, in my view. And I'd like to think previous caller, not interested in what he said. We are needing players that can come in. If he's not kicked a ball and he's a 21-year-old, he's got to be further the beans. He's got to be. He's wearing the number 7 shirt. I like the number 7 role. So I wholeheartedly wish him all the best. I certainly do.
Just the timing, Gordon, this guarantees you nothing. You can sign at the end of the window and be brilliant, sign at the start of the window and be rotten. So I totally accept that. But if you could choose, I think this is obviously the way you want you want this. So he's going to be there. He's going to train for that full winter break, you would imagine. Mm-hmm. Get, you know, integrated into the group, and the fitness allows, you know, then be sort of raring to go after that. You know, where we have seen in the past maybe dilly-dallying a bit, you know. And I know you have to, I know it's a difficult window, but players coming in towards the end of January, then they're not up to speed, and it feels like before you know it the season's over and you've not had the chance to get the best of a January signing.
Yeah, I think Andy will agree with us. I think if you're a player, you're wanting in that building as quickly as possible, training with your teammates, getting to know the style of football, getting to know the demands of the manager as well, which is very, very important for new players coming in and wanting to hit the ground running, Gordon. So I think it's an ideal situation for a lad. He'll be excited by it. Great opportunity. Works perfectly well for Wolves, Rangers, and obviously the boy itself. So it's up to him now. He'll get the opportunity. A lot of good players wore that number 7 jersey. Let's see if he's one of them.
Thank you very much to Graham from the East End, 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Since we've been on air just about 5 minutes or so ago, Rangers confirming that Fabio Silva will move to Ibrox officially when the transfer window opens on January the 1st. So early business done. What do you make of that? Is that one you're excited by or not? Rangers fans, let us know right now. And whilst we line your calls up, let me tell you about this. Win £300,000. Right, as we head into the new year, just people starting to get their hopes and dreams for the new year written down or come up with in their head. Gordon DL's got some wonderful New Year's resolutions that he was telling me about that I can't actually repeat on a family show. But just imagine heading into January with £300,000. If you text yes to 61025, that could be your reality. The text of £2 plus a standard network rate. You can enter on the website for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition are on the website. When the lines shut 3pm on Hogmanay, Jim Atkinson could be calling you. And if we do, just answer the call. The £300,000 is yours. There's no phrase to remember. There's no need to pick up within the five rings. It could not be simpler. Text yes to 61025.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. And you can tweet us as well. We had some breaking transfer news on air not so long ago, and that's that Rangers have confirmed the signing of Fabio Silva on loan from Wolves. Of course, it can't be completely confirmed in the sense that he joins in January the 1st, but up until that point, we are good to go on that story. So if you want to get your reaction in, please do. And like, I think when Rangers or Celtic go and make a big loan signing in January, that's a big deal anyway. But one quick look at social media tells you that there's that added ingredient of a good old fashioned debate as to whether Celtic did or didn't want him in the first place. And we only had this, not have this with Lewis Palmer just a couple of months ago. These are the best ones.
Yeah.
They just feed in, because if they're, you know, we don't even know if the guy's good or not yet. So you don't really know if you want to claim him.
Well, I think Rangers won't be claiming Palmer because he's done pretty well since he's for Celtic, isn't he? But I think that's going to happen because January, it's a difficult window. It's not like the summer. There's only a select sort of pool of players that are available for most clubs, especially ones that are in a sort of similar terms of transfer budget. So it wouldn't surprise me.
There was that original tweet. I don't know. Sorry for not name checking the journalist, but did you see it earlier?
Going to Glasgow.
That Fabio Silva's moving to Scotland. I understand it will be Celtic or Rangers.
Good tweet.
As if like Livy might just like swap deal for Joel Newbley.
That's clever marketing for his Twitter account, and it's plenty of traction, and he's no daft that man.
But there we are. So anyway, get your calls in, your thoughts on that move. It's a nice and early one for us. I like that, just because it gives us something to talk about, which is always always good for sure. And yeah, sure. I mean, I'm reading the replies to our story about it, and it is all very much that sort of, you know, bravado types, like Celtic fans saying he'll be another Aaron Ramsey, Rangers fans saying he rejected Celtic, and round we go. I suppose that's the way Glasgow works. Rhys is not in Glasgow though, he's in Falkirk. How's it going, Rhys?
I'm not bad, how are you?
Not bad. It's a busy old week this, Rhys. You've got a new signing in tonight, you've got a big game at the weekend. What's on your mind?
I just wonder, do you think Celtic will be under less pressure on Saturday with us not being able to go top of the league? See, I would have preferred if we played last night with a chance to obviously go top.
Good. I love these where we become amateur psychologists for the night. And this sort of came up last night because there was a real split. Some Rangers fans prefer the rest, no more injuries, great. And others like Rhys saying, but we now can't go top, and we thought we were going to hope.
I think for the most part, I would always say I would want the games and I'd want the points on board. But I think with Rangers' current scenario, I think with the amount of injuries they've got, I think question marks over John Lundstrom for the weekend, question marks over Conor Goldson for the weekend, I think it's a rest that they would be more than willing to take, because they're already light, as we spoke about, in more departments of one. And I think they could they certainly couldn't afford any more injuries going into this game at the weekend. So I don't think they'd been too disappointed with the game being off.
I totally take that on board, right? And there's not a lot I can disagree with. But I think if you look at the fixture, you're at home to Ross County. I think you've got enough in your locker and the squad. You keep the momentum going. You keep the sharpness going. You keep everything, the confidence going. With an opportunity that you'd probably have not been disrespectful to County, but I think Rangers would have won the game. And it gives you that added sort of a
incentive
to go and go top of the league. So for me, I would have rather played the game.
So you're looking at it, though, more from your rival's perspective, Reece. You think this takes a bit of the pressure off Celtic?
I will, definitely, because I feel like we has gone into that game thinking we can go top, give us a bit more of a drive, and then I feel like that puts him under more of a crumbling stop. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, I understand what Reece is saying, and someone will pipe up and say, ah, there's always pressure when these sides meet, and of course there is, but there are degrees of pressure, and that storyline is now not there. Whether that does take any pressure off or not, that's for you and the callers to decide, but certainly that storyline's been removed, you know, that chance to go top. So does that do anything for you? From a Celtic perspective?
I think if you've got Rangers come calling the weekend and you're thinking they could, if they beat us here, they could go top, I think it does add a little bit of pressure. But what it does is give Celtic the incentive to say, right, we're going to widen that gap. And I think everybody concerned at Celtic, and obviously Celtic fans, that's what they'll be thinking, especially with home advantage, with, you know, the ground packed with just their supporters as well. So you can look at it both ways. But as a Rangers, if I was in the Rangers camp, yeah, I'd have liked to have played the game and got the 3 points. If I'm the Celtic camp, I'm quite happy that there's a little bit of pressure just taken away in the fact that they can't leapfrog us no matter how they leave Celtic Park.
What do you make of the new signing this evening, Reece?
Well, I'm in the same boat as Mark Eller. I would have preferred to see somebody like Shanklin come through the door, a proven goal scorer. But, well, with Fabio Silva, he's 21. He's not had much luck at Wolves, so hopefully he's high. Being energetic and ready to get going.
This is the fascination about loan signings, Gordon, because you just, like, obviously, like, Lauren Shanklin isn't moving anywhere for £35 million. As good as he is, and I'm sorry to Andy's employers and the Hearts fans out there, he's not moving for £35 million. But it also doesn't always work that way. And, you know, sometimes a player who does know the league and is proven here can go and do it, and people have referenced, you know, high profile loan signings that have come up here in the past and it not worked out. So that's why it's hard to sort of pigeonhole or predict it based on what similar types of deals have happened before.
I think there's two ways of looking at it, Gordon. I think if you go and you spend the money in Shanklin, for instance, and you pay that little bit more that Hearts obviously are entitled to ask for, you know what you're getting. He's played here, he knows the league, he knows everything about Rangers, he's a proven goal scorer. So you know what you're getting, and it would be a lesser risk. Whereas I think Rangers are doing the right thing. They're going to get a guy here that's got a massive price tag on him. He's young, he's enthusiastic, he's got everything to prove, but it's a loan where there's not such a risk. If he comes up, and we've seen it before, you know, all these big names coming up. Duffy come up, Celtic, Aaron Ramsey come up with these big reputations. They've played in the English Premier League. They've done X, Y, and Z, and it's not happened for them. So I think going into the loan system for this lad at 21 years of age, I think that's a good bit of business for Rangers.
Thank you very much to Reece. What about Cameron in Dunblane? How's it going, Cameron?
Evening, gents.
Are you well?
Yeah, I'm well. I was just a quick point on the new signing for Rangers. I don't know if Gordon got the Football Manager for his Christmas. I know there was a chat a couple of weeks ago about it. I know Andy's a big fan.
Well, listen, remember, Gordon's had some issues with his laptop recently. He's not able. But where is this going? Have you been doing your research?
Well, do you know what it was? A couple of seasons ago when the game came out, this chap was a wonder kid. You know, he was always really good in the game. But, I mean, so was Karamoko Dembele. So it's a difficult one. But no, from all the my Rangers fans, friends that I've been speaking to, they're quite chuffed with it. I just wish we on the other side would get our business done early as well.
Andy, is he come across a wonder your football kid. Manager radar?
Oh, he is a wonder kid, that boy.
Did you sign him?
I don't think I had the budget for him.
Coach Halliday couldn't sign him.
He didn't have the funds though.
Oh, was he still 35?
He'll be a fortune, him.
How much do you get in this silly game?
Depends what club you're at, obviously.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, Aero get two bob, so you don't need to worry. Don't need to worry about getting them for them.
Do you know what's really funny? Like regularly, like maybe like you know, like once a week, once a fortnight. Genuinely, yeah. Someone will be playing an old version of Football Manager, and you get like the news, you know, from the other clubs or whatever. And Gordon Dalziel will be sacked by Aer, and they'll send me it. It happens all the time. Every time you get sacked,
who sacked me?
Aer.
No, they didn't.
In the game.
Oh, I'm not in these silly games.
I get sent it regularly. So Cameron, you're actually a Celtic fan, you're on to it.
That's right, yeah.
I don't know, we've seen a lot today, a lot of speculation about whether that was one that Celtic were looking at as well. As based on what you know, is that a player you would have liked or?
It's difficult to tell, Gordon. I mean, I think we do need another striker with this Asian Cup coming up. I know there's talk about Van Veen back in Scotland. I would take him on a short-term contract, a sort of pay-as-you-play, because we know what he can do it here. And I know, I mean, I'm a big admirer of Shankly. I've got a few Hearts friends and they love him. But obviously, we know where his allegiance lies. I'd like us to get a striker. I'd love us to get another left-back and a goalkeeper too. But the wish list goes on. But yeah, no, I'd love a striker through the doors in January, Gordon. Yeah,
yeah, and do you know what? I think you see sort of some typical reaction. It's fine. It's nothing sinister. When Celtic sign someone, Rangers fans will say that guy's rubbish and shoot it down, and then vice versa. But what I'm seeing in amongst all the tweets is some Celtic fans like Cameron saying, "Well, do you know what? We need to do business, and we need to do it quickly as well. So don't worry so much about whether he's good or not. But can we do something soon?" And as Cameron says, although we knew it was coming, confirmed today, Yang and Oh, I'm not saying they're Celtic's main men, but they're in the South Korea squad. So this Asia Cup scenario is starting to play out.
Yeah, they're going to be missing a few key players in that month. And listen, I've no doubt that Celtic are going to be busy. I think Rangers are going to be busy as well. And, you know, it's all leading up to what's a very interesting game at the weekend, and one, to be honest, that I couldn't predict. It wouldn't surprise me if either team won. It wouldn't surprise me if I see a draw. But what I do think is I think that January defines the season. I really do, for either club. I think it's such a pivotal month in terms of recruitment for both sides. I think both teams need 3-4 new players in at least. And for me, it's whoever gets their recruitment done better will ultimately end up being the champions at the end of the year.
I think if you're looking at both sides, you know, important positions is the centre forward, and they're looking for guys to come up, hit the ground running, start scoring goals. Now that's what I'm saying. If you get Shanklin, I would guarantee probably, and Andy Wurtswell, I'd probably guarantee will hit the ground and score goals in Scottish football. Of that, there's no doubt, because I think he's got that ability. But when you're going down into the English market and foreign market, you're bringing these players in. Now, teams aren't going to let their goal scorers go. So it's a bit of a risk right away. You know, you've got a young lad coming up here, 21, never played in this Scottish football, playing with a big club like Rangers, expected to score goals, added pressure on him as well. He might turn out he could bang goals in for fun.
That's just the point, isn't it? In theory, it's for players that you can't afford. I mean, you know, in theory, if they can reach their potential, it's somebody that's out of your price bracket. We've seen loads of that's the point, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of, you know, fans don't like the sort of loan signings, especially when, and I think I read that it's not got a buy option at the end of it. I think that's one why, you know, yeah, you're developing somebody else's player, you ultimately can't buy it at the end. But see if Rangers go and win the league at the end of the season, certainly won't matter.
Some early quotes, just very basic stuff, talking to Rangers, saying he's very happy, he spoke to people about Glasgow and Rangers, told them good things. He played here once with Porto in the Europa League, so I already know the warm club environment and stadium. Everything is perfect. I'm happy to be here. Can't wait to start training with the team. Andy Halliday's Hearts have had a big victory last night. If you want to keep talking about that, please do. And let's see if we can get a victory, or will it be Gordon Dalziel on this tonight?
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time, 01419511025, and the lines close at 7.
First for football for 50 years. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. It's been a busy show already. We started off getting you the inside track on Rangers' potential signing, Fabio Silva. He then became Rangers' signing, Fabio Silva, because it was confirmed during that first hour. We are, of course, looking back on the Edinburgh derby because it was a much talked about game, finished in dramatic fashion. Andy Halliday has a vested interest, so if you have thoughts on that, please do. And Celtic fans, 2 days to go until the visit of Rangers. What are you thinking? How are you feeling? What are your early thoughts on transfer business? We know that Oh and Yang are definitely going to the Asia Cup. I'm sure others will follow, but the South Korea squad has been announced. St Mirren fans, I'd be keen to hear from you. It's all been very much a happy start to the season. Is that starting to dwindle? How much is it starting to dwindle? What do you make of the current run of form? Kelly fans, you're starting to be on the other end of that, a much more optimistic outlook. So again, get your thoughts over to us, 01419511025. And whilst you do, we'll play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Interesting last night, Kilmarnock fan phoned from the toilet of the supporters bus going to the game. Like, deliberately locked himself in so that he could, and you could just, they were obviously listening, and they were just cheering and shouting, and he got battered by Mark Wilson.
You got a 52 seater, you've got to get your mates to help you, Andy, you know?
I was thinking that as well. If he's in the toilet for the full time, I don't even want to know what he was doing.
Maybe a taxi.
They didn't sound like they were in any fit state to help him. Yeah, it sounded more like
especially after that result,
a party atmosphere. So anyway, Stevens and Bishop Briggs, how's it going, Stephen?
Yeah, not bad, thanks, how are you?
Not bad. And you're a Celtic fan, Stephen?
Yeah, I am.
Right, we'll talk football afterwards perhaps. Let's see how we get on first though. Let's see if we're pals by the end of this. Heads it will be Andy Halliday, tails it will be Gordon DL. Most people are on and it's the first time they've played. But I think, have you played before?
I played a couple of years ago. Jim Duffy beat me.
Ooh,
hang on mate.
Jim's alright though.
I've seen Jim have a few good performances.
Yeah, Jim is alright. Reliable. He's up against two of the Giants.
I would not be putting you in Andy Halliday's category.
You're on a decent run now.
Oh, unbelievable.
A couple of good wins recently.
I'm feeling
this this last couple,
yeah, right? Yeah, I'm feeling for Stephen tonight.
The guy that played last week at Daniel Pua.
Any Christmas quizzes in the DL household over? That's quite a popular thing, isn't it?
No, I'm not good at quizzes. Well, apart from this one.
We had one, it was like the Christmas cracker joke, and you to provide the punchline. I think you'd have been good at
quite
that.
Like that's that. Right, that's good.
Decent, that.
Yeah. I have to say, I watched you on Andy Halliday's pals, the Hot Wings.
I don't know
challenge. And I do think your worst ever answers still come on this show. Mm-hmm. But
I had a few bad ones here.
The who's set to play the new Harley Quinn? And you answered Nicolas Cage.
That's brilliant.
I just spelt Gaga wrong.
Is one of the most ludicrous things I've ever heard.
I don't think it is, actually.
Female for a start.
I know that, but I didn't
know
that at the time.
Do you know who played Harley Quinn the last time?
I've never seen Harley Quinn.
Right.
I don't even know what Harley Quinn is.
Do you want to tell them who played the last time?
I actually don't know. I just know this time.
Oh, that's right, okay. Who is it this time again?
It's Margot Robbie. I believe.
No, that was last time.
Oh, so Margot Robbie was
last Gaga
one.
This right, okay. time.
It's Lady Gaga, mate.
Right, so
I just spelt Gaga
she look
wrong.
Like and come Nicolas up Cage.
Well, I spelt it wrong. Come on.
Anyway, Stephen, that's what you could be up against. So rest easy. Heads, it will be Andy Halliday, though, which will be a different kettle of fish. And it is Nicolas Cage himself, Gordon DL. It is a tails. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Good. We'll give him some greatest hits radio to listen to. And that means it's just you and I, Stephen. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Your 30 seconds starts now. Which country was Luis Palma playing in before signing for Celtic?
Honduras.
Who's got more Premiership goals this season, Danilo or Lammers?
Danilo.
What position did Kelly finish in the Premiership last season?
11th.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Lauren Shankland or Kevin Nisbet?
Shankland.
Which club is managed by Paul Hartley?
Celtic Hearts.
Who was the first team Brendan Rodgers managed in the English Premier League?
Swansea.
Okay. Let's bring him back. Gordon DL, can you hear us?
I don't know what that meant. Right. I am.
30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which country was Celtic's Luis Palma playing in before signing for the club?
Oh, Portugal.
Who's got more Scottish Premiership goals this season, Danilo or Lammers?
Danilo.
What position did Kelly finish in the Premiership last season?
10th.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Lawrence Shankland or Kevin Nisbet?
Shankland.
Which club is managed by Paul Hartley?
Cove.
Who were the first team Brendan Rodgers managed in the English Premier League?
Swansea.
Who won the 2023 Wolford. Nations League? The Men's Nations League.
Who won it?
Yep.
That the winners. France.
Okay. Stephen, have you done enough?
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't think so.
Oh, I don't like that tone, I must admit.
Has he done enough? I thought I was
You weren't great either.
No, there was a couple in there. I think Nisbet's got more, and I think
Nisbet's got more.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I think right, okay.
So,
and I think,
well, let me tell you, this you're like this and is I think, my job.
Did Rodgers no manage Watford first?
Just we'll get to that. Celtic's Luis Palma was playing in
Greece.
That's quite near Portugal.
it's closer than Honduras, as Stephen said.
Honduras.
Well, at least he's from Honduras, though.
I know, but he's not playing there. That's too easy. Get
you didn't get it either.
But Portugal's just round the corner.
Danilo's got four, Lammers has got two. You both got that right. Kelly finished, and I must admit, Stephen,
this is brilliant, isn't it?
This is what's soul destroying because
this is brilliant,
he's obviously
Stephen.
Just guessed.
No, I worked it out.
And you got it right.
See you later, Stephen. Hang up.
Stephen
boom.
Said 11.
The Dazzler once again.
Oh, hold on. It genuinely isn't done yet.
Has it not?
No, because you said Lawrence Shankland. He's only got seven, Nisbet's got 11.
I should have got.
Stephen didn't get it either.
Stephen.
Paul Hartley's managed Cove Rangers. Stephen, he's pulling off into the distance.
Oh, another one bounce it does.
However, Stephen got Swansea.
You got Swansea as well.
I got Swansea as well.
Did you?
See you later,
because you
Steve.
Wanted to change your mind. Yeah. That's right. Oh, so you did.
Stephen, can we travel down?
Good performance for you.
The Nations
together.
League winners were Spain.
It doesn't matter. It's done.
One,
Dutch
two, three, four.
Another victory for the Dazzler.
Win for the Dazzler. Stephen, that's a tough one to take heading into the new year, isn't it? Is that ruined?
Aye,
ruined your
I
new year.
I saw one.
Stephen, it's not about the winning. It's about taking part in the festive. You were brave enough to come on a Thursday night. Harley Dean DL.
A man on form.
Yeah.
Well
played, man.
Will your team have more of a chance of success? Two nights to go, Stephen. How are you feeling?
Hope so. I don't know. I think you go through a kind of roller coaster of, we're going to thump them to, no, we're going to get beat and everything in between. I think, regardless of the result, it won't have too much of a say in where the title goes. There's still so much football to be played, but I'll go to Parkhead relatively confident on Saturday and get a couple of pints down and see how I'm feeling.
Should I try
that tonight?
What does the removal of the possibility that Rangers go top, does that do anything to the occasion, the fact that now can't happen?
Nah, not for me, to be honest. Like, I think if I don't know, you're just going to focus on winning, it wouldn't massively matter because the games are there in hand. You'd rather have points on the table than games in hand, but I don't know. I suppose psychologically, maybe, but not as a fan. It wouldn't bother me if we get beat. I would
be still disappointed.
But on a technicality, doesn't make a bit of difference.
Yeah, that's certainly what Philippe Clement would say, I think, isn't it? Because he keeps using that marathon, not a sprint analogy. Is that the way you have to look at it when you're inside a dressing room? Is there other stuff for fans?
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree with Stephen. I don't think it defines where the title is going to end up at the end of the season. But listen, of course, we still know how important that is. I think especially the sort of wave that Rangers are riding just now under Philippe Clement since he's came in the door, and Celtic not in their best moment. That being said, I watched one of the most one-sided games of football I've seen at Dens Park at the weekend. Mm-hmm. I thought Celtic were near enough back to their best. I think even first half, people complain about it being 0-0 at half-time. It was pure domination. So I'm expecting two good teams going at it the weekend, both going for the win. And it'll be interesting to see where the 3 points or the 1 points go.
Does that give you a bit more faith, Stephen? There was two defeats, which is very rare. Two wins, the Dundee one, certainly very convincing. You feel like you're getting back to where you want to be or still a long way to go? How do you feel?
I think we've still got a fair way to go. I think I'm concerned with the players going to the Asia Cup, obviously. And I think the squad needs strengthening. And I think Brendan said as much.
But I also think we're capable of putting in one-off performances that are unbelievable. Some of the Champions League performances are amazing, and if you can play the way we played against Atletico at home and Feyenoord at home against Rangers, I think we'll beat them. I think if we were to play at our very best and Rangers were to play at their best, we would still take them. So I think for Rangers to get a result, it will take us to not be at our best, because I think if both teams are giving it 10 out of 10, then Celtic would take them.
I wonder how many Rangers fans would agree with parts of that. You know, because all the Rangers fans keep saying, you know, that it's almost like they're really impressed with how much Philippe Clement's getting out of the squad, and it's a credit to him. But they've obviously got a sort of winning mentality at the moment, and maybe Celtic fans are fearful that they can't reach their top level. But I don't think that's hugely controversial still from Stephen, is it, to say that, you know, if both teams were at their best, would Celtic still be favourites? Home advantage as well.
Celtic fans would think, yeah, Rangers fans think no. But
no, that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure this is black and white, is that?
Yeah, I'll tell you where the difference for me is just now. If they're both playing 10 out of 10, I think we're in for a cracker. You look at, I think Rangers' strengths just now, defensively, they don't give up many goals, right?
Yes, really good defensive record.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I think if you look at Celtic, I think they do. I think they'll give you a set play, and I think that's Achilles' heel just now. But if you look at the attacking side, I think if they're going 10 out of 10 at each other, I think you've got guys like Kyogo, who's a magnificent finisher. You know, so I think you've got different balances how if both teams are playing at their strengths.
Yeah, listen, Dazza just touched on a big part of my point. Rangers haven't faced a shot on target in the last three domestic games. So I think if they're going to get a result at the weekend, I think they need to be at their defensive best. Because for me, when both teams match up, I still think Celtic have more firepower going forward. I think the return of Maeda is important, because I think he's always, you know, contributed positively in the Old Firm games. I do think, you know, we touched on Lundstrom and Goulson's availability. I think what happens with Carter Vickers is going to be important. Hitati, if he comes back, I think will be a big part to play as well. But I think it's fair to say Celtic will go into the game as favourites, especially with the record they've got in Old Firms at Celtic Park over the years. But I think if Rangers are at their best defensively, you know that they've got goals in the likes of Seymour with the record that he's got just now, James Tavernier for dead ball situations and popping up at the back post as well. So I think anything can happen. Like I said earlier, I don't think any result this weekend will surprise me.
Thank you to Stephen. Let's hear from the Celtic camp. Greg Taylor says they've had justified criticism this season, but thinks they've got the right character to deal with it. He says the imminent return of Rio Hatate and Leo Labada could be big.
Yeah, exactly. Back not just for the game at the weekend, but just in general, we've missed these guys. They've been injured for a long, long time. So to have a competition for places and have these guys back who played real vital roles last season will only help us. I think Rio brings a real dynamism in terms of he's strong on the ball, creative, and real energy in midfield. And then Leo, he's a threat always and behind, goal scorer. So yeah, two guys that are top players for us. There's no way disappointing performances, and when that comes you get a bit of stick. That's normal, especially at a club this size. The supporters demand performances and results, and the two defeats together weren't good enough. So no, I think justified that we took a bit of stick, but there's a lot of boys in there with big broad shoulders that can take it and go out and try and prove wrong.
2 months out for Hatate, 4 months, closer to four, for Abada. They're certainly getting there or something near. Would it be, can you see it? Can you see them returning in time?
No chance.
No, Andy will tell you. I don't think Brendan Rodgers would throw them in. Plus, if you look at Celtic's front three, I think that picks itself just now. So the only one that you would look at, Hatate, who's so important to Celtic, because he is a fantastic midfield player, but to be out for that long, come back into a game that importance, the pace of that game, especially early, I think that'd be a big risk.
I think even to get him returned into the squad will be important, maybe for the last 20-30 minutes. I think as well, coincide with Paolo Bernardo's best performance in a Celtic jersey means that he's pretty much nailed for next week as well. I do think for Celtic's point of view, I think the big one is Cameron Carter-Vickers. I think he's so important to them. I don't think he said he's best form this year, but he's been injured for the best part of the season. But again, similar to what I said about Maeda, I think he's been a big player in Old Firms recently. For Rangers' point of view, I just think if Lundstrom's not fit, I think that midfield area, they're already quite short. So, you know, a few question marks over his availability as well.
Yeah, thanks again to Stephen. Let's bring in Andy, who is a Celtic fan. How's it going, Andy?
Very well, Gordon. Season's greetings to you all.
Thank you. Same to you. What are you thinking tonight, Andy? Thoughts on the game already, or is it January, or what you got for us?
No, I think the countdown's already started for Saturday, isn't it? The nerves are starting to jingle in and realising how big a game it is. Listen, I've had an observation I wanted to share with you for a couple of weeks, and it's just everybody I hear keeps going on about how Kyogo's underperforming and how Craig Taylor isn't making such a big impact this season. I've got a question for Andy Halliday first, if you don't mind it.
Go for it.
Andy, you're obviously doing your coaching badge stuff like being involved in the game for a long time. When did you first hear the phrase inverted fullbacks?
Well, the first time I've seen it was the sort of later years of Pep Guardiola at Barcelona. Obviously, it's came a lot more defined in the game recently in modern day football. You see Brighton have used it. Obviously, Ange coming to Scottish football was a big user of it as well. I think everyone wants the overloads in the middle of the park, and that's why it's coming, you know, so prominent in the game.
Well, I've been involved in the game a lot less level than you for many years, and I only heard that, obviously Cruyff not done it when you do your research, but I only heard that when Postecoglou came to Celtic. And for me, the observation I've got at the moment is people are suggesting Kyogo's playing a different position. For me, the difference is, and for Taylor, is that we're not playing that system as much as we were before. Again, I don't have the stats to prove it, but just based on games I was at and watching in the last couple of seasons, I think Celtic's biggest threat was a pass for the inverted fullback and the channel between the centre-back and the fullback and a first-team cross into Kyogo. At the moment, we've got two wide players who, first of all, we're fullbacks are only both starting in that position, so therefore there's less passes going into the channel in the box for to get a first-time box across. I do believe, however, watching the last two games, there's been a wee slight switch, and we're doing that more often, and I think that's where we're most dangerous. So Kyogo's getting a wee bit of hard time, Taylor's getting a wee bit of hard time, but I would suggest if we played more to that, continued to do what Postecoglou was doing. I'm not saying Rodgers shouldn't introduce his own system, but they guys have played that system. Johnston and Taylor have been doing that for the last couple of years, and we're not getting any joy when we go wide to Palmer. He's got to take a few touches, cut back inside, but that time Kyogo haven't started in the offside position, the first cross isn't getting by the defender, and similarly on the other side. So I've been listening to people going on a long time about Kyogo playing in a different position and stuff like that. I don't believe he is. I just believe we're not getting the ball into that channel to get the best of him.
I think at the start of the season, I agree with a lot of your points. I think at the start of the season, I felt as if Kyogo was playing a different role. I think at the start of the season, when it was sort of the 4-2-3-1, the two centre defensive business, I think it was Tumbo that started in the 10. You just look back at the goals at the first couple of games of the season. It was Kyogo dropping short, receiving the ball, and it was Tumbo making the direct runs in behind. I think a big sort of prominent way of Celtic's attack last year was the 2-8s playing high, like you said, the wingers really high and wide, and when they received it, like you said, the underlapping runs cut back. You've seen a lot of that recently, especially at Dens Park at the weekend, which is why I thought for me it was Paolo Bernardo's best performance for Celtic, because him and O'Reilly were sort of floating about in their pockets, making it very difficult for Dundee players to pick them up. A lot of unselfish runs in behind, which for me was very, very undervalued for Celtic last year. It was a lot talked about how they were on the ball, but how much they had willing runners running behind making it difficult for teams was big as well. And I think you have seen a sort of slight tweak towards that recently.
I don't like, this is where Gordon, how much of this stuff's by design, how much of it then is, you know, the way the game pans out and players taking initiative, because Andy, I think, is right. They were very inverted at Dens Park. I feel like I remember just to some kind of random games, as an example, Livingston away, remember Celtic went down to 10 men. Yeah. Greg Taylor was very inverted that day and was very good that day. So I don't know if it's, is it horses for courses, or are the players not doing it as often as by design?
I think when Postecoglou introduced it up here, I thought he caught everybody out by surprise. Teams didn't know how to handle it. I think
your Hearts played them first, didn't they?
Yeah,
first. Yeah,
and they overrun the middle of the park and leave their wide players to go and get the, you know, as Andy says, get the quality ball in for Kyogo. I think Brendan Rodgers has tweaked it slightly. I still think they do it, but I think teams are more switched on now and they get more bodies in to flood that middle of the park and sort of stamp out that danger. But he's tweaked it slightly, and I'll tell you who it's benefited. O'Reilly. O'Reilly's been absolutely sensational under Brendan Rodgers for me. I'm not saying he wasn't good under Postecoglou, but I think he's more of a threat. I think he gets into great positions. He's scoring goals as well. At the beginning, Kyogo was coming too deep for me. And I think Brendan Rodgers has probably worked on that.
No, but that's the thing. So you sort of disagree with Andy. Andy thinks the main difference has been the fullbacks, and that's why it sort of is having a knock-on effect for Kyogo.
No, I think when the fullbacks inverted get in there and you overload the middle part and you're control of it, then I think you'll create a lot more chances. But what I'm saying is oppositions now have got the idea and working on it. The minute Taylor and Johnston steps in, I watched it live at Kilmarnock, then Kilmarnock players were flooding the middle of the park to stop that space and stop the balls going in, so they couldn't then go and dominate the middle of the park. Then Kyogo's trying to come a little bit short to pull people away for O'Reilly, as Andy was talking about with Turnbull, but O'Reilly's the man that's now doing it.
Is it
but I think I've noticed lately that Kyogo's starting to, he's not coming, he's staying on that shoulder. Palmer is starting to produce, especially at Celtic Park. I think Palmer's absolutely brilliant at Celtic Park. I think he needs a bit more, for me, away. Like, say, I watched him at Kilmarnock.
His numbers are good, as they say, the
way. Yeah, like, yeah, but I just think, I think at Celtic Park, he's in a sort of a different level for me. Mm. I think Maeda coming back will help as well, gives him pace, stretch it. But Kyogo, Andy said that Kyogo and Taylor were coming in for criticism. It was from Celtic supporters. Wasn't from us. I think Taylor's been terrific for Celtic, and Kyogo's one of the best strikers going about.
Thank you, Andy. 01419511025. We can keep looking back on last night's action as well if you want. St Mirren fans, Kilmarnock fans, Hearts, Hibs, where are you? Pick up the phone and we'll do a full time teaser next as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. For 50 years, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 01419511025. We can look ahead to the weekend. We can talk signings. Fabio Silva's going to be a Rangers player. We can look back on last night. I'd like to do that as well. But it's up to you. Pick up those phones whilst I get this up and running.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Okay, let's get this question up and running. I quite like this. It's sort of topical for this weekend. Thanks to Stephen McCara for sending it in recently. We're looking for 9 players who've played for Rangers and they scored into Joe Hart whilst he was at Man City. So we're looking for 9 players who've played for Rangers and they scored into Joe Hart whilst he was at Man City.
What years was Joe Hart at Man City?
I mean, I'm not, yeah, I'm not telling you just now. As if that'll make any difference to you.
It will. I know my years.
So as if you're going to say, I thought he was 2015.
Yeah, no, I just don't want to go too far back. That's my problem.
Go, give me the first one that comes to head so we can get a good laugh at it.
I'm not really thinking.
You're going to give me like Peter Beardsley or something?
No, I've got to go Jelovic.
That's a good shout.
Well done.
Yes.
Oh, see what I mean? I'm on fire.
I should remember one for the game, Graham Dawns.
Yep.
Oh, brilliant.
Aaron Ramsey.
No, would you believe?
Arteta?
Yes. Okay, we'll leave it there then because you made a positive start. Thanks again to Stephen McCara. The question, 9 players. So you can play along at home if you want. And if you want to send your question in and get it used on the show, that's full time. At Clyde1.com. 9 players who've played for Rangers and scored into Joe Hart whilst he was at Man City. Mikel Arteta, Nikita Jelovic, Graham Dorans, 6 others before the end of the show. Kenny is a Hearts fan on the line, and you must be a happy Hearts fan after last night, Kenny.
Oh, very, very happy, mate. Evening, Clyde, Gordon, two Gordons and Andy.
Hello.
You know, as I said to the producer, mate, I'm quite glad that the Skies finally acknowledged the Edinburgh Derby, because as much as some might view the last night quite boring, and what a start to a game, what a finish to a game, I couldn't be a happier jambo walking home with my kids for leave last night.
I mean, Andy, what's the... He's off today, actually.
Yep.
Oh well, forget that then. Scrap that. I was going to say, what was the feeling
in the
like?
Camp?
What's the group
I
chat?
I could have a right good guess.
What's the group chat been like?
I mean, the group chat for the boys that weren't in the squad was just shanks with clapping emojis, just because, listen, he's obviously on fire. That's 11 goals, league goals for the season. I think he scored 5 in his last 4 consecutive games. I think he scored over 50% of our league goals this year. He's just a man on form. And obviously, Kenny touched on the game last night. I mean, quite often you see in derbies, I think both teams don't show themselves in best light in terms of quality. I thought it was quite scrappy at times, but for the neutral must have still been entertaining, because it was end to end, both teams going for the win, a lot of drama. And then obviously the main drama come the 93rd minute.
I just like the hype about it. You know, we had a bit of a discussion, quite a long discussion in the end last night, because there was going to, you know, Kenny mentions the TV coverage. It was supposed to be an attempt at being innovative. Nick Montgomery was going to be mic'd up. That then didn't happen. The Scottish FA saying IFAB rules don't permit it, but obviously it was left very late in the day until that sort of came out. So that didn't go ahead, but there was still, it felt a bit different. You know, there was cameras in the dressing rooms, and one of Andy's teammates had a body cam on, and it was bizarre.
The size of that thing as well.
But what I mean is, I feel a lot went into it. It felt like there was a hype about it, and it just sort of shows you that if you can produce those big moments, I'm going to do something I would really do and reference the number of views, because this caught my eye today. It probably wasn't a classic game. We get that. I noticed on Sky Sports Twitter account when they posted the video of Lauren Shankland's goal, it's now been viewed nearly 5 million times. It just felt like a big deal last night, if that makes sense, for a number of reasons.
I think that it got off to such a exciting start. I'm looking at this game thinking, this is going to be classic. This has got to be one of those games we'll be talking about for years to come. Two penalty misses, and you're thinking, right, what's coming next? In between was a bit drab, if I've got to say. I thought the quality was a bit poor. But when you're playing games like that, and especially with the fixture, there were over 20,000 there last night. I love going to Easter Road, always good crowd. And to score with excitement and the quality of a goal, the Hearts fans will not be given a jot how good or bad the game was. It was all about that moment. Derbies are all about a moment, and Lauren Shankland obviously produced that last night.
Can you imagine how much views Nick Montgomery's mic would have got if that was on for the last minute winner?
The one that got away, maybe in the future, because I think everyone would have loved to have heard that. Kenny, were you fearing the worst when he missed the penalty? Because things you don't often see. Lauren Shankland, what was he, 15 out of 15 for Hearts up until that point?
I deleted the video. I was taking it thinking there was going to be a big roar here, but it didn't happen. I think the way Hearts are going now, it's good and it's positive, you know. Me and the kids are there home and away every week, every time we can.
Brilliant.
It's just a fantastic day.
Yeah, well, how big a moment, Andy, as well? This is the man next to you. This is the problem. Goal scorers get all the credit, all the headlines. But there's a really interesting situation brewing in goal at your team, because everybody knows who Craig Gordon is and what he's done and how people view him in Gorgie, and he's fit and he's available, and then Xander Clark goes and produces a save like that, penalty save in an Edinburgh derby.
Listen, I'm glad you brought it up, because it was, I was so happy for him, not only just for the moment of the game, but we all know Craig Gordon, he's a legend at Hearts, and he's very well thought of within the club. But I mean, that's 10 clean sheets in 19 games now for Xander this season. He's in very, very good form, and the manager Stephen A. Smith has showed a lot of faith in him, keeping him in the team while Craig Gordon's came back, just because of the form he's had. And as much as we've had Lauren Shankland scoring goals in one end of the pitch, we've got the second best, only conceded one more goal in Celtic. Our defensive record has been outstanding this season. Like I said, 10 clean sheets in 19, and a lot of that has been down to Xander in goals. And when you actually watch it back as well, it's actually a good penalty Martin Boyle's took. He's hit it hard, he's hit it low, and it's a very difficult one for a goalkeeper to get to, but what a safety to keep it out.
Yeah, you've got to give the goalkeepers all the credit in the world. You know, see, he's playing week in, week out with that pressure that Craig Gordon is now back fit, and Andy described it there. He's a hero, and probably a lot of fans are be looking forward to him to come back in. Now, the manager stuck with him, and rightly so, because he's having a terrific time, and it's up to him to keep that jersey. And if he keeps performing like he's doing, then Craig Gordon, like other goalkeepers, as good as he is, has got to wait for his opportunity.
And was Steve Clark watching? That's just the other one that you have to throw in. We've not even referenced that side of it for Lauren Shankland as well.
Oh, he's on that plane already. It has to be.
Is he learning German as we speak?
It has to be for me. Listen, I've been a very vocal about no squads he's been omitted from recently, because I just think any Scotland striker, and I include Lyndon Dykes in that, include Jacob Brown in that, if we need a goal in the last 10-15 minutes of a game, for me there's no better than Lauren Shankland for a Scotland perspective. So I think, coinciding with his form just now, long may that continue, and hopefully it does. For me, he's got to be in the, he's got to be in the point of Germany.
Yeah, Xander Clark as well. It's good, good for both of them, isn't it?
It certainly is. Hitting form at the right time. There's still a bit of time to go, of course, as it's June. But it's important for Xander Clark to keep that number. If he's got any hope of going, it's important for him to keep that number one jersey. And so far, he's doing that. He's playing very, very well indeed. And the confidence he'll get from that penalty save last night in the derby as well. So it's up to Craig Gordon to show his worth now.
Difficult one for Andy to answer. He's alluded to that earlier, so put it back to you. Is this where, amidst all this, all Rangers should sign Lauren Shankland, or whoever else should sign Lauren Shankland, and Hearts obviously want to keep him, is that where this becomes an, that would become an extra complicated scenario? Because surely he wouldn't want to leave for somewhere that he might not play between now and the end of the season. I know players want to play everywhere, any move they make, but particularly right now, how much is he thinking club football future, and how much is he thinking where gives me the best chance of getting to the Euros?
Honestly, I think the way the lad is just now,
because if he stays at Hearts, you two have both got him in, guaranteed.
Yeah, but I think no matter where he goes, if he goes to Rangers, for me, he plays. I think, and I think he's got that confidence, and I think he's certainly got the ability to match it. So if you look at that situation, you're totally right, Gordon. You don't want to end up going for money, then missing out in a massive tournament in June because you've sat on the bench and not had enough game time, especially when you're on the form you're on. But I think Shankland, there's not many teams right now, and I'm talking Scotland, certainly in Scotland, Rangers for instance, they would not, for me, he would be number one pick.
Thank you to Kenny on the line. It wasn't the only big game last night, though. I was wondering if we would get some happy Kilmarnock fans, and Jack falls into that category. Jack, how are you?
Delighted, to say the least. That's five games unbeaten now. I feel like, to be honest, there was a lot of talk about St Mirren at the start of the season, how well they've done. And there's been no really much talk about Kelly and how well they've done, considering they only secured safety last season in the last day.
Yeah, I mean, that run's been fantastic, hasn't it, Jack? And then you go back, I mean, Celtic's included in it, but then you've got previous wins against Celtic and Rangers at the start of the season.
Yeah, we've shown this year that we're not just going to lie down to the old firm, we're going to take it to them. And the two times we've took it to them at home, I'd say we even gave Celtic a decent wee run at points at Parkhead, so it'll be interesting to see how we do against Rangers on the, I think it's the second.
You're flying, Kilmarnock, aren't they?
Yeah, I watched them against Celtic, Rugby Park, second half. Derek made one or two tactical switches, and I thought they were brilliant against Celtic. And everybody, you know, highlighted, oh, Celtic were poor. I thought it was all down to Kilmarnock. Thought they deserved their win. Sitting up there in fourth place. They're starting to find a way to win away from home as well. I think that was their big Achilles heel last season. Their away record was dreadful. They were depending on Rugby Park. But I think Derek's looked at that situation. He's got a good squad. He really has. He's got a good squad there. He's got a nice balance, experienced players, guys that can get him goals as well. So he's built that club very, very well indeed. And if you're a Kilmarnock fan just now, you must be over the moon what you're seeing.
Where did you tip them to finish?
Round about the fourth.
Was it?
Yeah, that's why I knew.
You sure?
It was 10th last year because I knew that we beat the pundit. That's why the guy's sitting in the living room now crying, no, but with a ball.
I said them on my dark horses for this year.
Yeah, I did as well. I had them up there in fourth or fifth.
I know Andy tells the truth. I'll let you look into yours. Andy, what's been so impressive about them recently?
Daz is right, it's the away form. Last year it was really, really poor. I think they only had one, maybe two wins away from home all last season. And in the midst of this 5-1 game beating run, four wins in that, and you're talking about wins at Pittodrie, wins against St Mirren, who aren't in their best form just now, but by all accounts it's a difficult place to go. And I did think a lot relied on the strikers going into this season. I felt as if Watkins was going to be a big player for them, because I felt they could maybe end up being too reliant on Vassell going into the season, and he's had his injury issues as well. But listen, for me, Derek McInnes, one of the best managers in the league, no doubt about it.
I think the boy, I don't know, you've probably played against him, Andy. I like the boy Armstrong.
Armstrong's a good player. Matty Kennedy's a good player. Yeah. We're talking about recruitment. Robbie Dees, I think, they've recruited well. They brought back Stuart Finlay. I just think you coincide a good manager with good recruitment in the summer. It's no surprise to see Kilmarnock do as well as they have.
Jack, have you sort of reassessed your goals? Because we won't speak ill of Hearts in front of Andy Halliday, and of course they had the good win last night, but clearly Hibs, on the other hand, and Aberdeen, you know, the big clubs, the clubs you expect to get up there, if they're going to do it, they've not started brilliantly. Are you starting to look at that table and maybe aim a bit higher?
I would say so. I'm not naive enough to think the Hearts won't do it. The Hearts are a very strong outfit, but I know that we can do it. We've shown it in previous years under Steve Clark. Great manager, I know, but I'd say Derek McInnes is... He's proved it in the Scottish game before. He's done it before with Aberdeen. I think another European trip for my lifetime would be good, considering what happened with the last one. But
I was going to say, you've got to try and make up for that one, don't you?
Right, we definitely do. But I do feel as if we have got a really good squad, and in January we've got a right chance to upgrade. Because up front, the two strikers are great. I love Marley Watkins and I love Vassell, but I feel as if we get a real out-and-out goal scorer. We create a lot of chances and miss a lot of chances. So if we get that out-and-out goal scorer, then I feel as if we could really charge on. And I heard Van Veen sniffing about Scotland again.
Oh, that would kill you, Gordon, wouldn't it?
You would break my heart. Oh, honestly, I couldn't handle honestly, the thought of it. But thanks to Jack, a happy Kilmarnock fan. By contrast, St Mirren.
They're not in their best moment, are they? Absolutely flying high, I think, at one point. Were they 8 points clear in third, or was it definitely five? But they're having a great time of it. But recently, I think they're only one win in the last six or seven, and just not. Yeah, we're talking about Kilmarnock with goal scorers. That's been a big issue for St Mirren over the last few games, is just having that guy that's going to get you 10, 15 goals a season. I think they've got quality there. Ayungu's somebody I really like personally, but again, he's you know, struggled fitness wise this season, and again, I think maybe a bit too reliant on certain players. I think, you know, the biggest one for me, I think their main creator is Ryan Strain, and him being injured, I think you've realised a dip in chances created and ultimately a dip in goals for that reason.
Thank you very much, Jack. Hopefully we speak to you again soon. That was Jack, Kilmarnock fan. Rod tweeted in when we were talking about Lauren Shanklin there, saying he'd be first pick for Rangers anyway, says Rod on Twitter. Moan the Jags. Now, I know you've got a complex relationship with Partick Thistle
love
fans
the
anyway.
Jags, love them.
But inspired by one of our previous conversations, Moan the Jag says he just fired up Champ Manager 0102 game, had a search for the Dazzler, and as Kevin Bridges would say, he's as unemployed as in the computer game. So there we go. Right, on your teaser then, nine players have played for Rangers and they've scored into Joe Hart whilst he was at Man City. Mikel Arteta, Nikita Jelovic and Graham Dorans.
Defoe.
Yep.
Stephen A. Smith.
Yep. Your gaffer.
Kenny Miller.
No,
I had to. I did to guess him, didn't I?
Kenny's in.
Kenny,
was Connor Goldson one?
No,
I'm just thinking.
Was Joe Hart in goals though when Kenny scored against England at Wembley? I think he would.
Yeah,
been.
He
yeah.
Been,
well,
yeah.
There you go then.
No. Lee McCulloch.
Nope. What have you got left? Four.
We could go and
three. I think
four left. We'll try and get. We'll try and get. Oh, rubbish. That's even worse.
I could, of course, scored in the cup.
We'll try and get them next. Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years, Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Unbelievable scenes in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard studio. I mean, I don't always disclose the private conversations that go on.
You can't repeat that.
Well, I'll leave out some of the details, obviously. But
please don't.
The gist of the story in Gordon Dale's mind is blown here, because he's obviously from an older generation. Andy Halliday, Deliveroo's, other delivery platforms are available. Toilet roll if he needs it. If he's caught short, he'll fire up the iPhone,
yep.
Get some toilet roll delivered. Two things. Mate. He's obviously got too much money, and he obviously lives in a busy part of the city where these things are.
Kitchen roller, tissues.
A bit of context though, if I can go to the shop, I'd go to the shop. But I'm saying if I realise there's an emergency here, there's no toilet roll.
Mate, I was going to have my dinner tonight, but I've gave up with that. I've got this image in my head now.
Believe it or not, I'm not really focused on the specifics of what he's up to. I'm just, it's the modern man.
Do you cook, Dazza?
Yeah, I'm a very good cook, mate. I can rustle up anything.
I can as well, but no, I can't even make toilet roll.
Do you know what impressed me was he actually, the premium one there. That's class.
Yeah, so you pay for like a yearly subscription to your delivery platform.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's like £40-50 for a year. It's got me so much toilet roll.
Maybe I'm just really naive, and maybe loads of people do that, and I've just never thought about it. But
it's just too easy, isn't it? Too easy.
Honestly,
especially if you need
the modern world. Hugh Keevan's genuinely he'll be sitting at home right now, just staring at his Nokia.
But he's got a pack of six in the bathroom.
He's got a pack of 80 in it. You just honestly know he'll never run out.
Stock
of
up.
This is a man who dealt with ration books, and he's now talking about firing up the phone to get toilet roll delivered. Remarkable. Anyway, right, back to something a bit more familiar. Sorry. Can you name 9 players who've played for Rangers and scored into Joe Hart whilst he was at Man City? You've got Arteta, Jelovic, Defoe, Dorans and Naismith.
Definitely, because he's in every
I was hoping
quiz.
You wouldn't get Naismith so that your teammates would ridicule you.
Charlie Adams?
No.
Oh, David Weir?
No.
I'm struggling.
I think a lot, like Alan Hutton's not going to have scored. Alan Hutton.
I've said this many times on the show, like, you just, what is that you've been doodling? I've just looked over to see some of your answers for the teaser. What's on that other bit of paper?
It's not right, is it?
What's wrong? Hold it up to the camera.
No!
Hurry up.
No, come on.
It's not a rude, image, is it? Just hold it up.
It's quite good.
Speak. You only speak so the mic.
Hold on. Didn't he speak for the phone? Hold on.
Look at that, man.
There you go. There you go.
What is your problem?
So he thought I was putting down notes.
So like Steve Bradley was talking, I seen him writing.
Oh, he did that at the start of the show.
See what the notes was, and he's drawing a fox.
Hold that up again. Let's get a real zoomed in.
Why are you so interested in that? It's lovely, isn't it? Hold on. Go away.
I just had one for the teaser and I forgot it.
So honestly, we're trying to talk football and that's what you're doing on that bit of paper. That's so rude.
It's called concentration.
It's just, it's ignorant.
Or boredom, whatever.
Right, where else you get?
I just had one for the teaser.
Who was it?
Where else you get the rest of your answers, Andy? I'm going to put you on the spot with this.
Clyde One. 50 years as Glasgow and the West's number one. Radio Clyde 261.
All together now. Sing it to me. You may have heard that this fine radio station turns 50 on Hogmanay, and to mark the occasion, we've been doing a lot of special things on the show. You'll have heard us using the original, the retro Super Scoreboard theme tune. It's magnificent, it's gone down a storm. Lots of other things coming up, programmes and great features to mark the occasion. And here, because we like to make it all about football, is we've been asking the pundits for their own top Scottish football moment from the last 50 years. It can be anything, just a personal memory to them. It's not even in any order. It's not some sort of definitive list. It's just a personal choice. We've had some great choices. Gordon Dale, you went David Marshall.
Yeah.
Serbia. Yep. We've had Celtic getting to Seville. I think Charlie Mulgrew picked the quadruple treble. Kenny Miller picked Helicopter Sunday. I went James McFadden in Paris. Tonight is Andy Halliday's turn. Take it away. Personal
memory.
Well,
I'm going to take you back all the way to 2002-2003 season. Going into the final game of the season, Rangers and Celtic were both level on points and level on goal difference. Rangers at home at Dunfermline, Celtic away at Kilmarnock at Rugby Park, and the drama that ensued was quite incredible. It ebbed and flowed the full game. Rangers go up 1-0 early, Dunfermline equalise. I think when Alan Thompson scored a penalty, I think it was to make it 3-0. The league title was heading to Celtic Park, and then late drama, Rangers managed to get another 3 goals, win the game 6-1, Celtic managed to win 4-0, but Rangers win the title by 1 goal difference.
Incredible. And of course, it all was taken well, taken on the chin, and no one made any sort of accusatory remarks afterwards about how it finished 6-0.
I'll never forget that. I get Jimmy Calderwood's Rangers talk that night.
So there we are. That's Andy Halliday's choice. We're nearly done, I think. We'll get a couple of the pundits to add theirs in the coming days. And it was just a bit of fun to mark the 50th anniversary of this radio station. Speaking of which, I mean, it's remarkable the contrast to think about the broadcasting heavyweights that have made this station what it is over the last 50 years. For me then to turn on Clyde One on Boxing Day and hear that they let you and Mark Wilson have their own show.
It was good. I enjoyed that.
Some of the rubbish you were coming out with was...
Look, you've just got to... It's different. It's not about the football. It's just about... Mark and I and the way we celebrate Christmas and what happens, and some of the music was good.
You could have chose some of these songs.
I thought your comment about filling Roger Hanna's head with pound coins was particularly unfair.
Well, it's true. I'm going to tell you something. If most guys in this show had that choice to make, I think they're going for the Roger.
I thought
that was
particularly unfair. There was something else I wanted to pull you up on that really upset me on Boxing Day, but I can't remember. That was the main one. I'll get back to you over the weekend. Right, we need a couple more on the teaser. 9 players have played for Rangers and scored into Joe Hart whilst he was at City. Arteta, Jelovic, Defoe, Dorans, Naismith. 3 to get.
What about Stephen Whittaker?
No, I thought you had it right, first name.
Stephen Davis.
Yes.
Okay. Come on, Andy. You remember when Rangers scored all the goals against Dunfermline and you can't remember who scored them against Joe Hart?
What's the oldest one?
Easiest clue of all time. He terrorises Mark Wilson in his nightmares.
Daniel Kuzan.
Told you, you'd get it off that. Daniel Kuzan. Hope you're listening, Mark.
Hull City.
August 2 to get. I thought we'd missed one.
Come on.
How far back are we going here?
Yeah, we're going back a bit actually to the maybe not too long after that period you just mentioned. He was a striker, played for a good few clubs in England.
James Beattie?
Yes. And the last one.
Franny Jeffers,
no. No, he's not a striker. He wouldn't have even scored that many. That's what's tough about it. And he is now a manager in England.
Centre back. Martin. No, it's not Martin. Russell Martin.
Russell Martin.
Wow.
Well done, Gordon DL. Thank you very much, Andy Halliday. I am elsewhere tomorrow, and Andrew McLean is going to look after you, Hugh Keevans. I wonder what he's been up to over Christmas. I can't wait to find out. I'll be sure to tune in, find out what he's been up to over Christmas, and I'm sure he'll have one or two interesting thoughts ahead of a certain fixture in the East End of Glasgow on Saturday. So make sure you join the guys at 6 tomorrow. I will speak to you again on Saturday, which promises to be quite the day. And I can't believe it, just remembered, Hugh Keevans is off tomorrow as well. But Kenny Miller will have loads to say, and so will Jim Duffy. Never let it be said that I let the details pass me by. Enjoy your weekend, Hugh, and we'll speak to you soon.